So your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Last week, we went through the first 17 verses of John 15, and we talked about continuing and what Christ was doing now. They have left the upper room. They're walking in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's talking to them as they go along the way. And so Christ is encouraging continued faithfulness. We need to be continually faithful as we walk on this earth. So in verses 1 through 8, we see a command. We see him talking about you need to continue in Christ. He says, I am the true vine. Okay? Because you need to beware of counterfeits. There is only one true vine. There is only one Savior. And there is only one set of true branches. There's a lot of counterfeits out there in the world today. Don't trust what people say. Look at their fruit. Look and see if they have the power of God in their lives. So continue in Christ. Beware of counterfeits. In verses 3 through 5, be fruitful. We need to be pruned by God. We need to be clean. We don't need to be laying on the dirt. And the issue is to bring more fruit. God cleans us off so we can produce fruit and then more fruit and then much fruit. And so we need to be connected to the true vine, and then we need to be complete in him. Then we need to be faithful. Faithlessness was exposed. There's a lot of branches that are say that they're in the vine, but they're not. And they're going to be cut away, and they're going to be burned. And there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a literal hell. There is a literal heaven. There is a literal eternity, because the Bible says so. There is a literal Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And you need to have true faith in him, because everything else is a false faith. And then his faithfulness is encouraged. In verses 9 through 12, we see we need to continue in love. We need to follow the Father as Christ did. We need to follow the Son and his example. We need to find true joy in Christ that has three characteristics that last forever, that basically lives out in our lives to fulfill God's plan for us down here on earth, and then that loves one another. And then we need to continue in Christ's commandments. First of all, to be his friend. If you're my friend, you're my friend if you do whatever I command you to do. It's made by the sacrifice of Christ. You cannot be the friend of God unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's made by surrender to Christ. You cannot be the friend of God unless you're walking in his will. Okay? And then lastly, it's made by the knowledge or mind of Christ. And we know that we have the mind of Christ. Then we need to be Christ's fulfillment. Christ is leaving the disciples behind. He's going to give them the Holy Spirit. And he says, now I want to give you a commission. And I want to give you these commandments. You need to follow them. And when you do those, you will fulfill my plan. You will fulfill my plan. And so we are the commission. They were the commission of God's, the commanded of God. And then we talked about three things that were commanded of God as his people. We're commanded as God as his witnesses. And we're commanded as God as his workers. So that was the first 17 verses of John chapter 15. Tonight, the title of my... Oh, I didn't kick that one. Okay, sorry. But tonight we will do, get ready, the rest of chapter 15, verses 18 through 27, and Christ is preparing his disciples for service. This is the last night he's talking with them. He's going to pour everything he can into them, and hopefully it will impact their lives, and we know that it does. So there are four things that we need to look at tonight as far as getting ready, getting the disciples ready for what was going to happen. In verses 18 and 19, they needed to realize that future rejection is coming. That future rejection is coming. In verses 18 and 19, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The Bible says in James, anyone who wants to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The converse of that is true. If you're the friend of God, you're going to be the enemy of the world. In verse 18, we see the rage of the world. It says, if the world hate you. And this is strong, strong language. It is actually to be totally despised. John gets this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. You cannot run a popularity contest. You need to do the truth. There's too much watered down stuff out there right now by people trying to straddle the fence. You either serve God or you don't. You're either following him or you're either looking in the Word or you're not looking in the world or walking in the Word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, blessed are they which are what? Persecuted for righteousness. The very first sermon that Christ preaches, he brings this up. And he says, happy are you. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For who? For my sake. It's not about us. It's about God. He's given our all for us. We ought to give our all for him. But that is not what the world wants. The world wants everybody to get along so we can do what the world system wants. And that is opposite of what God wants. God will win. God will win. So in verse 18, we see the rage of the word, of the world. And then in verses, the last part of 18 and 19, we see the reasons for this rage. And there's two. First of all, there's the rejection of Christ. It says, if the world hate you, ye know that it what? It hated me before it hated you. See, in John chapter 7, verse 7, and I was wondering, you know, as they're walking along with Christ, do they remember this? Do they remember these times that Christ says these things? Does it enter into their heart and their brain and their soul? And they say, yeah, I remember. Christ is going to tell them to remember something in a minute. And so he says in John 7, 7, he says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, okay? Because I testify of it, let the works thereof our evil. So the first reason for this rage of the world is because mankind hates God. Some people say there is no God. He's a fool. Some people try to rebel against God. That's foolishness. It will end in judgment. There will be rejection of them. Remember, Christ is getting them ready for this. Rejection of them because they are going to be separated from the world. It says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world. Now here's a fundamental thing. We need to be separate from the world. Amen. We are a chosen people. We're a peculiar people, a chosen generation. And we need to be separate and not touch the unclean thing. In Galatians, in Ephesians, in all the Pauline letters, it talks about separating yourself from those who don't follow God. You cannot be in the world and be following Christ at the same time. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. If you go one verse up, it says, look, He says, before you received Christ, you partied with them, you did all this other stuff. But when you did Christ, you should be different. You have a new man. You're a new man. You put on Christ. And now you shouldn't do those things. You've got to be different. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He says, you're going to be hated by the world because now you're separated from the world and you're not of it. Because if you were, they would love you. Here's a barometer of your spirituality. How much does the world dislike what you do? Or are we more concerned about what people think of us rather than what God thinks of us? Okay? We're separated by Christ. There's that word, but. He says, I have chosen you. What's the next word? Out of the world. You're not in the world. You're out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We talked about this a couple of Sundays ago, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, after they, the paralytic man, or the man that had couldn't walk, was healed, and now he's jumping up and down the temple, and everybody's going nuts over that. It said, then the religious leaders, but when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. But the foolishness of the world is wise to God. We need to become fools for him. Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they, and here's the key verse, the key part. It says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, people ought to see Jesus in our life. That they take knowledge that we have been with Jesus. That Jesus and the Holy Spirit is here and we're walking differently. So we see the rage of the world. We see the reasons for this rage because of rejection of Christ and the rejection of those who follow Christ. And that applies to us today. And so we need to understand that future rejection is coming. Today's past and tomorrow, there'll be more. There'll be more. Verses 20 through 25, the second point. Remember what has happened to you, with you, while you're walking with me. It says in verse 20, it says, who you now serve, okay? Who do you now serve? You're serving someone else. And how you were served. Verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Now, when did Jesus say that? Just a couple of hours before. After he washed their feet. Washed, not washed. Okay? I'll get it. Okay? I'm from the Midwest. I'll put an R in washed. Okay? But the issue is that he said, I've done this to you for an example. He says, if I, your Lord, have washed your feet, you need to wash other people's feet. Okay? You need to wash each other's feet. John 13, verses 16 through 17. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We need to constantly be reminded that Jesus is God and we're not. And it's his way and it's not ours. And we're not our own anymore because we've been bought with a price. And therefore, we need to do what we've been intended, what God intends for us to do. And the potter and the pot can't tell the potter, why have you made me like this? We need to accept what God has done and work for him. He says, and verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent them. If ye know. Now, know is not a factual knowledge. It's an application ability. It's an understanding. Yes, I know this, and therefore I will do these things. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you what? Do them. So he says, remember what happened, who you now serve. You serve me. He says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Remember the word that I said unto you. Remember who will serve with you. In the last part of this verse, it says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So who should you serve with? Someone that agrees with God, with you. How can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? There will be a consequence for wrong friends. There will be a consequence for right friends. Personally, we need to be with right friends. Because evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. So, you need to say who you now serve, who will serve with you, and then why will you suffer? Why will you suffer? In verses 21 through 23, it says, but in all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Okay, now, 3 years have gone past, and the disciples have heard Christ preach and instruct and talk about the Word of God. And says, first of all, we know that they're going to persecute you, persecute us, and think they're doing God a favor. Remember Saul. He thought he was, when he was persecuting the church, he thought he was doing God a favor because his vision of God, his view of God was wrong. Christ comes on the scene with the religious leaders, and he basically says, all these things that you are doing to try to say that you're better than anybody else, that you're righteous, that you deserve heaven, it's wrong. You need to believe in what was and who was coming, the Messiah. And I'm the Messiah, and you're not listening to me. Who does the works? Who talks like me? Who does all these things? And they're going, and they refuse to believe because they say, Abraham is our father. You know, I find it interesting that they spent more time talking about Abraham than talking about God Jehovah. Understand that? If you read this, it's just like that. So they don't even know God because if you were Abraham's seed, you wouldn't want to kill me. If you were Abraham's seed, you would follow me. You don't understand. So now this issue is, it's not that they were, that they didn't know what sin was. They had the Ten Commandments. They had the law. But the sin that Christ is talking about is the rejection of him. That is it. That's the sin that cannot be forgiven. It's his rejection. It says, if I not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. The Christ has been there. The Messiah has come. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And he says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I ask? Why do you call? He said, there'll be many in the last day saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful things? He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And then cast them into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not what you say. It's who you know. And it's basically who you know has an impact that your life will show it. And then basically, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly. Ha! Some people misquote that. And all that will live godly will suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. There is no other way that you can live godly except through him. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Christ is going to go on in the next chapter. He says, you will have tribulation in this world. But be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, the world's going to hit you because it hates me. But don't worry about it. You need to expect it. And as they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's preparing them. He says, you need to understand who you're now serving and why you're doing that. You need to understand who will serve with you and who won't serve with you. You need to understand why you will suffer. You know, sometimes when we know what's coming, we can get through the problem because we have already been prepared for it. Remember what's happened and what works were done. In verses 24 and 25, it says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Because in John chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one. He says, I do the will of him that sent me. This is my Father from above, not here on earth. He says, but this cometh to pass, that the law might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And he quotes Psalm 69:4 and Psalm 32:17, where David says, hey, I'm trying to do the right thing, and people hate me for trying to do the right thing. And Christ is quoting Scripture here. Christ gives us answers in the Scripture. We need to search the Scriptures, because then you'll find eternal life. You'll find the answers for everything. So, you need to remember, okay? You need to realize that rejection, future rejection is coming. You need to remember what has happened to you over these last 3 years. Then you need to understand, you need to receive the witness. One verse, verse 26. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So once again, this is a promise of the Holy Spirit from Christ. And we know that, and Paul says that all of God's promises are yea. Okay? But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. We have a promise of salvation. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise. He just promised in John 14. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I promise that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have God in you. And he's making this promise again. And these are all gifts that God gives us. He says, given us great, exceeding great, and precious promises. That by these what? By these promises. Okay? Ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You cannot be a partaker of the divine nature unless you have the promise of salvation. You cannot be a partaker of the divine nature unless you have seen and received the promise of the Holy Spirit. They all combined in here. having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then the last thing is receive the witness of the Holy Ghost, because what the Holy Spirit will do is it will proclaim Christ. It says he will testify of me. Now here's the challenge. The challenge is found in verse 27, the last verse of this chapter. We need to relate or tell your witness. And it says, and ye also shall bear witness. So Christ is sending the Holy Spirit down to bear witness that he is Christ. Christ in his 3 years of ministry and his entire life has said, I am the Messiah. He witnessed, he testified of himself. And then they well, your witness is not true because you only have one witness. He says, oh, my Father in heaven confirms my witness. And now he says, and you, as they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, you've seen me, you've seen what's happened, you're going to see what's going to happen, are going to be witnesses of me because you've been with me through from the beginning. And once again, Judas is excluded. He's not there now. He's not there now. So I'll close with this passage. John gets this. Peter gets this. They all get this, but do we get it? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. I can imagine that John, as he's writing this letter, is thinking about this walk to Gethsemane. And Peter, as he's writing, is thinking about that walk with the Lord. And it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. John 15, 27, and ye shall also bear witness. Verse 2, for the life which was manifested, and we have seen, and we have seen it, and bear witness unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, what's the next word? Declare. Declare we unto you. Why? That ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John gets this. Do we get it? Now, we haven't physically seen Jesus, but we know him. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the promises. Are we living? Are we standing on the promises? Are we living the promise of God? Are you ready for the future? Are you ready for eternity by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ready for the life that God has put in front of us and promised that will happen and all the things that will go along with that? Are you ready for that? Christ has given his testimony. He's going to the garden. Then he's going to pray for us. He's praying for us now that we will get it and that we'll be ready. Amen? So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't leave here tonight without knowing it. But for us as Christians, we need to follow him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, just help us, Lord, to be ready for the next opportunity you put in front of us for the next trial we have to go through, for the next witness that we have to do and we have to give. For the all the challenges in our life, make us ready. That, Father, we'll look to you and only you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.